going on, y'all. And thanks again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And of course, I can't do this alone. I have to have Peg Leg Pete here with me. Mi amigo, Big Fizzy.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in Skeleton Studios on a beautiful December day. Getting ready for the holiday spirit. We've been decorating all around the house. And every year we seem to accumulate even more decorations. I don't know where my wife finds this stuff, but that's all I've been doing is hanging this there and putting this there. And
how many boxes of decorations have you carried, like from the storage building into the house and back?
It's so bad that we have two storage buildings because one's not enough. You want to talk about a life of excess? Yes, the first world problems.
Too many decorations.
Lots of decorations.
That's mainly what my wife has. Like if you go to my storage building, it's full of decorations.
My wife goes really big on Christmas and Halloween. That's about it though. Like we have a lot of Easter stuff or Valentine's Day or whatever all the other various holidays are. You know, I know some people are, they're even more festive. They celebrate everything.
My wife likes to, she has stuff that matches each holiday as it comes.
I got you.
Each little thing, but she doesn't go like buck wild until Halloween, and Halloween starts the ball rolling. But you know what? She's not a big, like she doesn't do New Year's. Like we don't really like, well, yeah, we do stuff for New Year's, but like, you know, like a huge New Year's celebration.
Yeah.
Nah. Are we too old for that now?
Yeah. Like I haven't celebrated a New Year's Eve anything in probably 6-7 years.
How long has it been since you've stayed up late? Like we've talked about this. I don't ever even stay up to watch the New Year's celebration. So
I don't stay up to watch the New Year's celebration, but I definitely stay up enough. I mean, I'm a night owl anyway.
Stay up enough. What's enough?
Well, I mean, past midnight.
Whoa. Yeah. No, not me.
I mean, I get to ring the new year in, but I'm not like setting out to do it. That's just my everyday.
That's just the way it works out.
It's like I've talked about before, like it doesn't get quiet at my house till like 10. So like I want, true. I don't know how many times I'll be there and I'm tired and I want to go to bed, but I don't go to bed because if I go to bed, then I wake up and it's time to go to work again. I missed out on my quiet time. Right. So I like to have like 2 to 3 hours where it's just me. I can watch something, read something. Otherwise, because Luke is in my ear constantly. Look at this. Look at that. Did you see this? Did you see that? And it.
He's going
you
crazy.
You know the way it is.
Yeah.
You've been there.
Yeah, he's going crazy.
And I mean, God.
Hey,
love
how's
him.
The wheel?
What are you
good? Your leg.
Oh, yeah.
We hadn't had to cut it off yet.
No, I've had lots of people message me. And just so you know, I'm not wearing the boot right now. So no, I still haven't learned my lesson.
No, he come like slow walking over here.
Well, I'll tell you, I took it off as an experiment yesterday. I had to go into someone's house and it was kind of muddy. And so I took the boot off to go into their home and I was like, huh, it's not bothering me. So today I didn't put it on yet, but I'm probably going to put it on when I leave the studio.
I got you.
I don't want to overdo it. And the doctor even said that, like, look, you can probably take it off in a couple weeks, but just be careful. My luck, I'd step in another hole
it.
Or something.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, but no, I'm good, man. People are blowing it way out of proportion. I'm not like super injured. I'm good.
Yeah. And thanks to everybody that sent me messages while I was out of state. I got back from the Colorado Kansas trip and then right in time just for Thanksgiving, and then we got slammed of course with Thanksgiving and doing all that. So yeah, I mean, we had, in fact, I've got some crazy stories that I'm going to pull from Kansas. That's something I think all of you folks that are like native, is it Kansasites, what would you call people native to Kansas? Kansasans?
I don't know.
What would you call? We need to
Jayhawks,
know.
Jayhawks, right?
Yeah. Is that? Yeah, that's what it is.
I don't know.
K-State.
I think that outsiders, people that aren't from Kansas, think Kansas is nothing but like flat. And there are lots of woods.
The thing that most upset about with Kansas and all you native folks from Kansas is y'all have been hiding something from everybody else. And it's y'all's sunsets. The sunsets in Kansas are ridiculous.
Really?
Because it's so open, you can see, it's beautiful. Like it really is. It's crazy. Even like where we stayed, the fella that owned the place was like, yeah, where do you see the sunset? I'm like, man, I remember going to Kansas as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Stayed up there with my mom for a little bit. I don't ever, of course, you're a kid. You don't know, man. I'm going to tell you, the Kansas sunsets is where it's at.
I always wanted to get into like photographing like twisters and like lightning and stuff.
Oh, like storm chasing?
No, I don't want to storm chase. Don't chase. I just for the photograph.
You just want to stay off and shoot them with a long lens.
I think you'd make like really cool photos. Yeah, I don't understand the knuckleheads that. I understand if you're like a scientist. I understand if like that's your profession. But around here, because we live in Tornado Alley, there are all kinds of just hobbyists
that's chase them.
That chase them and put themselves in harm's way. And I just don't get that.
Yeah, I'm out on that. I don't think I want to do that. Yeah.
I mean, because it's, you know, I don't know. To me, it's scary.
Yeah.
But to each their own, you know.
Speaking of scary, I've got something. So Lon's been busy, right? Lon's been inundated with flying humanoid stuff, which is great, which you and I have talked about it. It seems like that flap that started has never stopped.
Yeah, it's a really weird thing. You know, when I was much younger, hearing about the flap of sightings in and around Point Pleasant and all that. But it seems like there's been an ongoing flap. We're living through it.
Right since now. Like 2015, it seems like it's really just started turning the volume up more and more.
And around the state of Illinois, mm-hmm. for whatever reason. But like we've talked about, sometimes these sightings are along with a travesty or something that's bad about to happen. Yeah. And golly, south side of Chicago, there's like murders going on 6 or 7 a day, it feels like. So maybe that's why these things are attracted.
It could be, yeah. The sadness, the darkness.
The sorrow, the pain. Maybe these things are feeding off of that energy.
So I've been, like I said, reading all the stuff that Lon's been dropping, and he's been sending us stuff, and we've been talking, and he's got this. Now, he got this on Thanksgiving Day when he posted this, and I was so excited because it's something that I enjoy, and I'm pretty sure y'all will enjoy this. There is a lanky, pale humanoid encountered near Saskatchewan home. A lanky, pale humanoid, folks. A rake, if you will, which sounds like a rake. Or what were the others, like the ones I did, like the pale crawlers or whatever.
Yeah, that's the name. Yeah.
That's kind of what this sounds like. So listen to this. It says, my great uncle owns a lot of land in northern Saskatchewan, Canada. Some of this was pasture that he uses for cattle, but half of one of his largest properties is fenced off and the cows can't go there. Now, in the sectioned off property is lactose-free zone. It says the entire place is densely packed with foliage. Now, the ground itself is blotted with some small steep hills towards the entrance to the property. There is one main dirt road that goes off, says, from a Texas gate at the entrance all the way back to the farthest side of the property. I wonder what they mean by Texas gate. I wonder if they're talking about like a cattle guard.
That must be what they're talking about.
I don't
about.
Know, right?
I never heard of them referred to as a Texas gate.
Myself, though. I have no idea what would be is it a bump gate? Like, we've had bump gates, but who knows, right?
Who knows, eh?
So, yeah, here we go. Yeah. Don't drop that bag of milk. So, coming off the road in the hilly area, we have a camp, and the camp consists of like a trailer. It says an ATCO trailer. We've always had a lot of wildlife, like big cats and bear that could harm people. I've actually had to put down a bear that came into our camp and was far too comfortable with people not too long after. So I learned to recognize the sounds and sights around me, and while cautious, I'm rarely afraid of anything out there. Regardless of the seemingly lack of disturbances, we always were careful at night, making sure to have a bright light and to keep a lookout for anything. After the first week, we began hearing noises around the camp very late at night that would drive the dog insane. Crazy, to the point we just had to keep her inside. Now, it almost felt like whatever it was probing and checking out our camp nightly, but always staying far enough away and hidden enough that we could never see it without our spotlights. Then one night, I left my mother's camper a couple hours after the daylight had disappeared with a lantern, just like it says, an LED style lantern. I didn't have anything to defend myself. Oh, this isn't going to be good. No gun, no bear spray, not even a knife. So I was a little bit more cautious and more observant than usual, given that I felt more vulnerable. As I walked from the exit of my mom's camper, I looked around for a minute, scanning the tree line. I then began the loop around to my door. I panned as I walked from right to left, from the entrance to the fire pit and then to the table. It was there, just behind the table, not 20 feet away, that I saw a naked, extremely pale, almost gray, lanky humanoid figure standing still and directly facing me. As it caught my gaze, I felt my heart drop and immediately went cold. I probably only stared for 3 seconds at most, but it felt like several minutes as my brain processed what I was seeing. It stood somewhere between 6.5 and 7.5 feet tall, with low, slumped shoulders. and it had a frail, thin body that reminded me of photos from the Holocaust, but with disproportionately long limbs. I ran like my life depended on it. The last few feet to my door, I was screaming. Once inside, I grabbed the shotgun, stuffed several shells in my pocket, loaded the gun, aimed it at the door, and I sat in silence with the hammer. And I walked back, waiting for the doorknob to turn or for the frosted glass to break. I sat and waited for hours into the early morning, expecting to see or hear something, but I never did. Not even any foliage moving or atoms moving. And eventually, around 4 a.m., I lowered my guard, propped the shotgun next to my bed, and hesitantly went to sleep. When I woke up, I hardly believed in what I had seen the night before. I was around the area to see if there was any shapes or items that could have mistaken or warped my mind. Now, I'm not really sure what I saw, but I know it wasn't human. The photos and drawings of these crawlers reminded me a great deal of it, so I thought I'd share maybe one of these, and one of you could enlighten me as to what I could have seen or what it could have been doing or the intent it might have had. Thanks, G.
Dude.
What do you think?
I would be terrified.
So let me ask you something. It dawned on me reading that. What if these things are these pale crawlers that people are reporting seeing? Now, not all of them, not like the rakes and all that, where they look like they're moving funny. But like when you see them out like this standing, what if that is like a Bigfoot with the mange that's sickly, that's dying, right? Like all the hair fell out of it.
Yeah.
Pasty. What if that's what it is? What if it's not necessarily
a demon?
Something on its own, but just like a gnarly old, because you've seen the bear without hair.
Yeah, that's creepy.
And chimpanzees without hair. Like, what if it was a Bigfoot without hair, like a sickly Bigfoot?
Yeah, it's possible. Like, what I will say, though, about like with its bear or chimpanzees with the mange, you can see how muscular they are, where these things are described with almost no muscle.
Yeah, they're maybe like it's like CWD. Like, it's just wasting away.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe it's a Bigfoot with CWD.
Maybe it's a Bigfoot with both.
That's true.
And Lyme disease on top of that.
Yeah.
Sprinkle that in.
Sprinkle that in. Yeah, you never know. Right? Damn.
Now, speaking of Bigfoot, a listener named Leo had a pretty interesting observation one day while working on the railroad. Check this out.
Imagine doing your daily, everyday job when unexpectedly you have a run-in with the paranormal. That's exactly what happened to railroad engineer Leo. The ordeal has forever changed him.
Yes, my name is Leo. I'm 67 years old. I live in Pocatello, Idaho. About 7 years ago, I had a sighting while I was an engineer for UP Railroad. I was driving a train one day, and we was going very slow, working on restricted speed. And my conductor saw something that was out of place. He thought it looked like a huge rock. Anyway, we kept looking at it, and it stood up, and it walked over a few feet. And while it was standing there looking at the train, we was only going like 7 miles an hour because we was working on restricted speed. He asked me to look up and see if I could tell what that was. And I looked up at the hill, and it was only about 100 yards away. And it was standing upright, facing the train, looking at us. And my exact words to my conductor was, "It looks like a man standing up there. Maybe it's a manager with a radar gun making sure we're going restricted speed," because they do that. They test you all the time when you run trains. And anyway, my attention went right back to the track, because when you're at restricted speed, you have to watch out for broken rail and stuff like that, because if you run over broken rail, you get fired. So anyway, I'm watching with my binoculars the rail to see if there's any damage to the rail. And he said, "Leo, what is that thing doing?" And I looked out the window with my binoculars, out the train window with my binoculars. It was open, and I put my elbows on the arm pad that's outside the window, and I'm looking right at it, and it had slipped just over the hill to where only about half of its body was upright over the hill, and it was still facing the train. And my binoculars are 7 power, so 7 power at 100 yards is like 17, 18 yards is what I was actually looking at it, right in its eyes. And I noticed, the first thing I noticed was how the sun was reflecting in its eyes, like it would reflect off the eyes of a deer or an elk. And I also noticed what an innocent look it had. It had an innocent look in its eyes, just like deer and elk have when they're feeding and you catch them and they look up and you see the eyes shining and stuff. It had an innocent look to it. And all of a sudden, while I was looking in its eyes, I started getting these thoughts. I started receiving like telepathic messages of some kind. And I started seeing all these formulas and figures. I know this sounds crazy, but it happened. And all of a sudden, these thoughts came into my head of the capabilities of this thing's eyesight. It was the capabilities of a Sasquatch are this, from what I learned from the telepathic connection I made with that Sasquatch by looking in its eyes. They can see ultraviolet. They can see infrared. They can see the electrical signal generated by every living creature. That's why you people fail in getting close. You have to have material that's going to shield anything that has an electrical signal, like a camera or anything like that, because they can see the electrical signal put out by a battery pack in a camera or anything. They can see all that. You don't get nothing by them that has any kind of electrical signal, including your body. And there is material made that does block that stuff. So there is a chance that the BFRO, if they wanted to come listen to me, instead of like Matt Moneymaker, just, oh, well, you couldn't possibly know the secret of the Sasquatch research. I do. I received it through a telepathic message by looking in the eyes of a Sasquatch. There was no fear in me, because most people get afraid when they see him, because they're not in a train 14 feet off the ground that a Sasquatch could never get into and get to you. So anyway, this thing turned to leave when it seen. It was really quite amazing, its response. It was sitting there looking innocent right in my eyes. And then all of a sudden it saw the little man in the window looking at it. And it was just a human-like reaction. It was almost like it said, oh, wow. And its eyes got big and stuff, and it turned to leave. And when it turned to leave, I seen it had long, wavy hair. It was quite awesome, and it was about 8.5 feet tall and probably weighed 600 to 700 pounds. It was just huge.
What would you do if some unproven creature made direct eye contact with you and started bestowing knowledge to you telepathically? Would you accept the gift, or would you think the cheese was sliding off your cracker? It would be hard enough to tell people that you've seen a Sasquatch, but imagine trying to tell someone you actually mind-melded with one.
Anyway, that's my story. And if you'd like to use it, you have... But I have given you the secret, the Sasquatch research. No, I have not given you the secret, because I didn't tell you the material that blocks the electrical signals that you need to cover all your equipment in and everything when you research Sasquatch. And this deal of running around with lights and radios is a good way to fail at getting any definite proof of a Sasquatch. You got to do it differently.
Perhaps Leo knows something others don't. Something a Sasquatch told him. It's quite possible they can see or detect electric fields. I mean, several oceanic animals like sharks, skates, rays, can all sense electric fields. They do it using an organ called the ampullae of Lorenzini.
There we go. Very interesting case. Mm-hmm. I love the stories where, you know, it's not someone out Bigfooting. You know, they're not out tree knocking. They're not out there trying to find it, because I think that's when your mind plays tricks on you the most. He's out there working, you know, just his daily job as an engineer on the railroad, and him and several guys saw this thing. And then he said it was able to communicate with him telepathically. And the reason that Matt Moneymaker and all these guys can't find it is that they're going about it all wrong. He said that these things can sense electric fields, much like a shark can or a stingray or other animals. And maybe that's why. You're walking out there, they can sense your presence. I don't know. It's as good a theory as all the other stuff I've heard, from infrasound to all these other abilities. I mean, everybody knows. And I know that there's some people out there rolling their eyes. There's people out there getting worked up or mad. But I say that any theory is as good as another, because we're all going to sit here and argue over a creature that's been unproven.
Mm-hmm.
So to say that, you know, this is the way it is and that's impossible, I will not say that.
No.
So interesting. Thanks for sending that in.
It's as good as any other
explanation
as to why you can't find them.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break. And when we get back from the break, we're going to be talking about some more strange sightings. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. Hope everyone out there listening is having a good day. We get all kinds of emails sent to us. I know we talk about this from time to time. And I love when Mary sends me a couple highlighted ones that are good just to look over and to research and things like that. And it's incredible to me all the weird stuff people out there are seeing and witnessing throughout their life. That's what keeps the show going.
For real.
And it's broadened my horizons as the possibility of strange things happen every once in a while, when in fact it looks like they're happening every single day somewhere in the world, you know?
Yeah.
So check this out. This comes from one of our listeners named Josh. It says, "Hey guys, my name's Josh and I'm from Missouri. I'm a huge fan of you guys. And I have to say, one of my favorite parts of the show is the intro where Cam introduces Kyle with a number of different nicknames. Thick Neck was one of my favorites, and it's been a while since I've heard it, so please get that one back into rotation. Cam."
I'll duly noted. Yeah. Duly noted. He is much like a turtle. Thick neck, no hair on top.
"This is my first time submitting anything to you guys, and it's not much of a story, but it's the only really paranormal things that have happened to me. So if you happen to use it on the show, feel free to use my name and whatever else. I'm 21 years old, and this happened to me when my grandfather, or Pop, passed away when I was 12 years old. It came kind of quick. He was in declining health for a few months, and then one morning, I woke up for school and I got the bad news that he had passed. Now, I'm not sure exactly how much later, but it was within a week that he passed that my experience happened. I woke up sometime in the middle of the night, a few nights later, and I can vividly remember the exact scene in my head. I looked up into the corner of my room, and I saw what looked like a shadow standing there. I don't remember feeling scared immediately, but the first thought that came to my mind was that the shadow looked exactly like my Pop. It was just a solid black shadow, but not like a shadow that was on the wall, but just a 3D person standing there, if you know what I mean. I thought it looked like my Pop, even though I couldn't see a face or any of the features. But because it was the same height and the same shape as him, he was about 5'7", and a thick man with a slightly hunched back, which is exactly what I saw in the shadow form. All I can remember is that I looked up, looked at the shadow for about a minute, and then just laid my head back down and went to sleep. Now, years later, remembering that night, I looked into a few things. The only thing I found that I felt it possibly could have been was sleep paralysis, because I read accounts of people seeing shadow figures during those episodes. But the thing is, I could move just fine. I wasn't paralyzed. I wasn't scared or anything else that would make me believe that this was my or a good explanation. Recently, I had a very vivid dream where my Pop visited me and was just telling me how proud he was of me and my brother. It felt so real. And I really believe he did in fact visit me from another realm in my dream, and that it wasn't just a dream. This dream is what sparked me to send you guys this message. I just wanted to share my story because you guys have made my workday so much better having your podcast going in my headphones all day. Although I binged it pretty quick, and now it's always exciting when I see a new episode pop up. Keep up the unreal work, boys. Hopefully I can meet up with you guys one day at an event or something. Josh. Very cool, Josh. I like stories like the one you're telling or have written in, that a loved one has come and visited you after death. And this is quite common. I know lots of people, including my own mother, who swears that just after the death of her mother, that she saw her mother in her room and she saw her go down the hallway towards my brother's room and I. To check on us. She didn't want to follow us, and she wasn't scared. Now, I don't remember my grandmother coming in the room or anything like that, but I think this happens. And there are stories of people feel like a loved one who's passed on will come and actually check in on them every once in a while.
Yeah.
Right? This is a common thing. Now, is that really what's happening? I don't know. Or is it just like you just had a really good dream of a past loved one, and it just makes you feel good. And I don't know. Like,
or both.
My dreams are never like that. My dreams are stupid. Like, I'll just be like building a go-kart or welding with a boss I had 14 years ago. Like, just really random stuff. But that's probably because my brain is, you know, dumb. So anyways, interesting story. Thanks for sending that in.
Well, you know, my grandfather had the same thing, and I ended up telling that story and ended up telling it on Jim Harrell's podcast years ago.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He had, when my grandmother came to visit him, sat on the bed, the whole thing. And he changed after that. Like, he was a very different person after having visited with her. Because he'd been pretty bummed, you know. They were together forever. Like, I mean, forever, forever, right? So, I mean, she was 80, 81, whenever, 80, I think, when she passed, because he was 88. So, yeah, it was one of those deals. When he was, like I told you, like we've discussed, both of our grandfathers were at Normandy and all that. They were really kind of no-nonsense dudes.
A generation.
Yeah. He was never one to buy in. You know, he just wasn't that guy to buy into any of this. You know, he was like a meat and potatoes kind of guy. But I think that was their age. You know, that's just who they were. But,
right. And I like how people always talk about them being a different type of person, like they were tougher and things. Yeah. Like that. And all that's true. But also, that's the same generation where dads didn't hug their kids. They never told them they loved them.
Yeah.
I mean, so like they weren't perfect. Right. Yeah. So when you start saying it was like the best generation, relax
for
on that
certain
a little
things.
Bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Typically, it's older people that say that, right?
I can tell you this 100%. I don't think my grandfather ever hugged me. I don't remember ever him. I remember going up and grabbing him and hugging him, but I don't ever remember him walking. Your grandpa never walked up. First of all, your grandpa was a different level. So
now that you say that, I don't really remember. I'm sure it happened, but I will say that it happened so infrequently that, like,
you can't remember.
Don't remember him.
That's what
I'm
saying.
He wasn't passing out hugs on a daily basis.
Yeah.
It wasn't like every day when I left, he was like, all right, give me a hug.
Yeah.
No.
Not like your grandma. Right.
No.
The exact opposite. So when he told me he had that experience and it moved him, he was willing to share that. I don't believe that that's something that he's made up.
You know what I did enjoy, in other words, on the grandpa kick that I took for granted, is like nowadays so much food comes in the frozen aisle, or it's like reheated or air fried.
Home cooking?
I mean, they wouldn't even know what you're talking about if you wanted like chicken nuggets or something. Mm-mm. She would literally make like handmade meals for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah.
And you forget
how good it was.
How awesome that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like, yeah, I'm not going to lie. You come home from work and Luke wants chicken nuggets. How easy is it for me to throw it in the air fryer?
Super simple.
Whip
right?
up some mac and cheese, you know, cut up some.
But if you want good, healthy food,
go to
just cook it.
The apples already come sliced. I mean, like, it's simple, right? And I'm not going to lie. It's easy to dish out.
Yeah.
But, like, it doesn't replace, like, homemade meals. But we do quite a bit of cooking at my house. I like to do a lot of grilling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not by no means a pit boss or a grill master, but
I made steaks last night.
Dude, how was it?
I made them. They're good.
I even have an apron that says like the Grill Father on the front.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny. I like that. Yeah. You're the only guy that I know that went above and beyond and bought like the multi giant burner, like the biggest flat top you could find.
Yeah. I regret
just
that.
Just because.
I really do. Like, I don't need that. Like, what am I serving, a cafeteria? Like, I really wish I just had like the three or four.
It's as big as the table we're on right now.
Oh yeah. Oh, I've got all kinds of gadgets.
My brother-in-law was bragging about, like, he's got like a 6 burner. I'm like, Kyle's is like an 8 burner or something. Like, it takes like the big upright acetylene tanks on a dolly to keep that thing burning.
Yeah, I got like heat lamps. Like, it's like going to Furs or Luby's when you come to my house. I got a chocolate fountain. Was that like Golden Corral?
That was Golden Corral. You dip your shrimp in it.
I haven't been to one of those places in a long time, but I know they're still popular. You know what? A chain that's going down is Poncho's. You don't hardly see that no more.
That's a shame. You don't want to raise the flag. People outside of y'all even have those anywhere else,
man,
besides here?
It's terrible. But when I was a kid, I actually liked that place.
You would still eat there if we went
no,
there.
No, there's several things that I just.
Liar.
No, anyway.
So listen to this.
I don't know how we got on this food kick. Sorry, y'all.
Sorry.
Because it's around lunch.
That's right. Yeah, right. Because I'm hungry again. Of course, like I told all y'all, I was in Colorado and in Kansas. And while in Kansas, I got some crazy ideas. Of course, you're sitting around in the dark because it was, you know, we'd be up an hour or two before daylight. And then we would, you know, we'd hunt and do all of our glass and do all of our stuff normally. Of course, still dark. And so while out there and walking and thinking and glassing and doing all this stuff, you think, and I'm just like, man, you could see, like, there can't be anything out here that would be out of the ordinary. You should be able to see it, right? And then you start thinking about, well, if I'm going off of like, you know, you think about like whitetail or mule deer or anything mm-hmm. like that, something that's that large, you know, you're talking, let's just say 300 to 400 pound range. That's a pretty good size animal. And they can easily hide out there.
Yeah.
They'll run out in the tall grass, lay down, get in low spot. They vanish, get out in my low fields, just vanish. And you're like, okay, so if they were something large, you know, let's say a large hominid that was even a little smarter than white-tailed deer, yeah, right?
A predator.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be easy for them to hide? Like really and truly, like where you would think there wouldn't be, there might really be. So I start doing a little digging around. Now, you don't find a lot of it, which is understandable. You don't find a lot of it. Either they do a great job hiding, people aren't looking, or there's just not a lot. But I did find some. I want to read this to you. Yeah.
Let me ask you, because I don't know. Like in Kansas, do they have lions there? Like mountain lions? I'm not talking about like African lions.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm sure they've got them. I'm sure I've not looked into that. I have to look into it. I'm sure there's been sightings and some hit just randomly. But man, they got livestock. They got wildlife. I guess there could, but there may not be enough.
Yeah, that's a good question. I know Colorado does.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sure there's some bleed over, you know, from here and there and yonder, because you're talking about along the Oklahoma side, you know, stuff. Yeah, I'm sure you've got some.
And the cats don't know, like, they're crossing the state line.
Yeah, they have no idea. So I'm sure there's some there. There's probably not as many as there are in other, like, of course, in Colorado.
And here.
Yeah, and here there's a bunch. Yeah, stuff like that. So I wanted to start looking into, do we have some cool Bigfoot sightings? And I come across these, and this isn't Bigfoot, folks. Get a load of this. It says, my daughter, who was still living at home in her first year of cosmetology school, and a friend had gone to Wichita, Kansas to a show. This was in the summer of 2008. On their way home, driving on a country road in Sedgwick County to cut over from a highway to our house, they came around a bend in the road. Their headlights swept across the road, and in front of them, and standing by the side, near the guardrail of a concrete bridge, was a huge canine creature. It's a dog, man, folks.
Ugh.
The girls were so frightened when telling me that it took a bit to calm down, and helped to calm them down, to make sense out of this story. So the road is a north-south road, and the sighting was a quarter mile from town. The bridge is just a small one that goes over a runoff creek, and my guess is the dog man was too big to go under it, so it, of course, had to go over the road and was coming up the draw from the creek bottom. They were in the wrong place at the wrong time. My daughter's car was small, a little Chevy Cavalier, and she said the lights didn't reach this thing's face, so they didn't even get eye shine, but it was that big. It was black and the height and width of a cow on all fours. All they could focus on was the muzzle and all the huge razor teeth when it peeled its lips back and snarled at them. Yeah, right? She said that it could have reached out and touched their car, but it didn't. So she screamed and she stomped on the gas, and they were both looking behind them once they got into town because they thought it could have been chasing them. So she wiped her eyes and she said, "I think we saw a werewolf, Mom. I seriously remember the hair standing up on the back of my neck." Now, after asking her if she was sure she hadn't seen Sasquatch and her saying, "Mom, you don't understand. It was the biggest wolf. It was huge, and it showed its teeth at us. It wasn't a Bigfoot. It was a werewolf." So I just had no idea what they saw, but they were very scared, and I told her, "Never drive that road at night." I felt kind of helpless. So you fast forward 10 years, and I hear on a YouTube story about a dog man. She said, the light bulb come on. She says, this is what those two girls saw here in Kansas, of all places. So I sent her this YouTube video, and she was pretty shook up, but relieved to know that it's a real thing, that she's not the only one that saw it, right?
Yeah.
So when I showed her different pictures of the types, she said that it was Van Helsing movie werewolf looking one, which of course scares me.
Yeah.
It says, if it helps to know, this area is about 2 or maybe 3 miles from a river, which is east of the road they saw it on. They didn't get a good look at its feet as the backside of it was coming up an incline from the little creek that they saw in front, but they did see the shoulders, the chest, the head, and apparently teeth. Those were the details they gave me. Gigi.
Yeah, see, this is common when people have a dog man sighting. They think that they're going crazy. Yeah. They're not aware that other people see them too. They're just like, you're not going to believe me, but 30 years ago, I saw a werewolf. And I never said nothing to nobody because I thought I was crazy. I was like, no, I must have imagined that. I saw it in a movie. Turns out lots of other people see them too.
Well, you remember the wrestling coach in Ohio.
That's right.
Before started podcasting, told that story when we were in Ohio. This would have been like, what, in 2009? 08 or 09?
I forgot.
When he told me that, and I've talked about it on the show.
Tell the listeners again, in case there's some new ones.
So a young man was out of college. He was he still is. I think he's still there. In fact, I need to see if I can contact him and get him to come on. I'm going to try to find him. But anyway, he was there. He lives in Ohio, and he's talking about, and he got up on, for those of you that haven't heard the story. So my son was a wrestler and all this stuff, and we'd gone to Ohio, took the whole team up there for a camp, and we stayed in an old, what used to be a schoolhouse, you know, where it looked kind of like Hoosiers. It had the gym and had all that stuff. And we stayed in this old place and the kids slept on the floor and the whole thing. And they had a stage built. And so, you know, like you would have in an old schoolhouse or an old church or any of that stuff, had the big stage like an auditorium. And so they would get up and display the moves, and they had all the rest of it was, you know, out in the deal. So he got up and was telling the story. The coach, the big coach, the main guy that run the camp, had this young man tell the werewolf story, and he's acting it out, which was great because the kids are laughing. You know, everybody's having a good time. You know, there's like 75 kids or something there, and he's acting it out. But the story goes that he was driving between where he had worked, I believe, and where he was going to school or something along those lines. But it was one of those ones in the evening right at dusk. And he said, out of the corn, he sees a black wolf. And he goes, but it's not like at first, it's not like what you think. It's not the all fours like a real, like a wolf moves very methodically, almost glides like a big cat, right? Mm-hmm. Like they just, it's not that. Yeah. He's like, the way it moved was like it had more weight in its bottom end than its top end. So it's on all fours, but it's, imagine if you were trying to stay duck walking and have your hands on the ground and trying to walk at the same time.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what it looked like as it came up. Then he realized, he's like, that's a werewolf. And this thing did its kind of broken move as it made its way across the road and into the brush, like into the cornfields and into the stuff where he had seen it. And so, you know, he had told people, everybody had laughed about it, but apparently it was a thing then. And I remember vaguely a few people talking about it, but even then I'm like, man, I need to go talk to him. But I had never really heard of anybody seeing dogmen. Like this is before dogmen was ever even a thing on the radar. Like I had never heard of.
Yeah. I mean, I talk about it even on the last episode, like up until like 12, 10, 13 years ago, I'd never even heard of it. Yeah. Anybody having a real credible werewolf sighting.
We, you know, you'd hear the stories of like the Beast of Bray Road, or you hear things, but I had never, like you're talking about, known someone. It was always, you know, you'd like, is this your buddy's friend's cousin saw something, you know, or, you know, y'all all know how it goes. You don't really know. And then whenever you finally see somebody like, oh, and this dude was, the shocking thing about it was how open he was. Is he's like, yeah. He goes, because I think I'm crazy. I think I'm seeing things. But he started describing it and how it moved and what it looked like. Straight dog man. And that's in, like I said, it's in Ohio. Now, this one is in Kansas. So is there something about the cornfields, right? I mean, you're talking about, you know, you and I laugh. There's two things we always laugh about. And these people, all of y'all listening probably know. But Kyle and I off air always laugh about these two things when it comes to scary stories. Smoking cigarettes and cornfields. Because for some reason, those things always are like people see all the craziest stuff going outside for a cigarette.
I mean,
all the stuff.
A ton of like UFO sightings.
Yes.
Or while somebody's outside enjoying a cigarette.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's about.
Cornfields. People driving. You see the craziest stuff in and out of cornfields. Think of all the movies that involve it. Because my thing is, we laugh about it now. But imagine how scary it would be if somebody just lowered you down into a cornfield blindfolded and let you took the blindfold off and then you got to find your way out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a terrifying idea to be thought that you're caught in a maze that literally you can jump and almost see over.
Not me. I've only got like a 2-inch vertical.
Yeah, I can't. I can't even see over Milo, and that stuff grows like 3.5 feet tall.
check this one out. It says, hey, Cam and Kyle, I love the show. I'm a big fan. Y'all are killing it.
Hey, thanks. We love y'all.
Hope all is well as y'all can be. I know how it feels when you roll an ankle or when you get your Achilles smacked, Kyle, so I feel for you, man. I appreciate that. I'm reaching out to tell you guys what happened to me at my grandmother's house in Tampa, Florida. This was the summer of 1995, and I was like 5 years old. As a kid, I grew up having wildly vivid nightmares, like the first time I saw Jaws as a kid. I had nightmares that same night that I was stuck in the ocean at night, and Jaws was toying with me, making passes and eventually going for the kill. And just before its mouth shut on me for good, I'd wake up in a sweat. So, Cam, I get you, man.
Oh.
The same goes for other movies like Pumpkinhead or Xenomorphs or Werewolves. And, of course, The Thing. Naturally, as a young kid, watching these movies and reading books on Sasquatch or alien abductions left an impression on me to this day. I love horror and the paranormal, even though I was often terrified as a child. Anyway, to get back on track, that night I was at my grandmother's house in my room and surprisingly didn't watch anything horrific or paranormal. Hell, I don't think I was up late to read anything creepy either. So when I woke up at around what seemed to be about 5 a.m., almost 6 a.m., from a feeling that I was being watched, it was unnerving. From my bed point of view, I had a large window to my right and my entrance is to the left in a decently sized room. The blinds and shutters were closed, and my door was fully open. No nightlight or other minor source of light was shining, so my eyes were fully adjusted to the dark. So, you know when in darkness, you can still make out whatever is in the hallway and tell where the furniture is, right? Having white walls helps a lot. My point is, this wasn't pitch black darkness, where you can't see anything else. So how was a shadow figure of a pitch black bull at the doorway of my room? This looked like a fighting bull, like the ones from Spain. Pitch black, with like smoke or something. It's the kind of smoke like off a cigarette you have in one hand while resting, versus the exhale, the wispiness of it. This thing is just staring down at me for what seemed like minutes. It probably was only like 20 seconds at the most. Then it walked off to the left and into the main space, and it's it. I waited a few minutes and made a beeline for my grandmother's bed and snuck in. Naturally, she woke up and asked me what happened. I told her, and she tells me, it's okay, just go back to sleep. So I'm on my side, facing the doorway, trying to go back asleep again for a bit, and this thing just walks past her bedroom door. The same pitch black smoky silhouette of a bull. It slowly walks, looks at me for a moment, then walks off, never to be seen again. Now I'm frozen till the sun starts peeking out and probably eventually drift off to sleep again. I never saw this thing again till 96 or 97, I believe, when the movie James and the Giant Peach was released in theaters. I gasped and freaked out when I saw the rhino. I told my grandmother this was like it. She said that she believes me. If you've ever seen the movie, it's damn near spot on, but without the glowing eyes, teeth, and lightning. Anyways, thanks for just being y'all. You guys are amazing, and keep being real broods. Go Lightning, David. David, fantastic story. Very cool, very unique. A large, smoke-looking black bull wandering the hallways of your grandmother's house and in your bedroom. I have no idea. As far as the Go Lightning stuff, though, you know, yeah. Steve Stamkos, he's a good goal scorer. I'll give you that. Yeah, they're a pretty good team. But all jokes aside, the Lightning have a fantastic squad down there. Although I think the Florida Panthers are probably better this year. They're really amazing. I don't know what's going on in Florida, but it's odd. Like, all the hockey teams are really good in Florida. It just doesn't make any sense. Florida itself doesn't make any sense.
What about whenever the Golden Knights ended up, like, in Vegas? Same thing.
Yeah, like, that's because they had, like, the kind of a – they got some good draft picks and pick of the litter because they were a new franchise. But, like, literally, the Florida Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning are, I mean, they're just really good.
In Florida.
In Florida.
There's nothing better, right? If you're a hockey player, you get to live, like, in a beautiful area, and then you still get to play. Like, you're not freezing off, like, up in Canada and playing hockey.
Yeah.
You're living in Florida and still playing hockey.
All the teams up in Canada aren't really that good.
Oh, here we go.
No, I'm being serious. Like, it's sad, but, like, they're not that great.
Is it sad?
I guess the Maple Leafs are awesome, but that's because, you know.
They're the Maple Leafs.
Austin Matthews is on that team, and he's from Arizona, so.
He's got it bad, folks. He's got it so bad.
But I enjoyed this story. That's an odd sighting. When I'm hearing him describe it, I'm picturing, of course, because my brain immediately goes to, like, Dungeons & Dragons. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of, like, a Minotaur or something like that. Or I think of Black Death and Bongo.
Oh,
is that like the Swahili word for water buffalo?
Yeah, for Cape Buffalo.
Those things are evil.
Yeah, they are.
Most people don't realize that those things are, like, one of the most dangerous animals on terra firma.
Yeah.
Like, those things are bad news.
It's like one of the big five. So, I mean, yeah, it's like we always talk about how dangerous hippos are. Cape Buffalo, same thing.
You ever seen, like, a hippo, like, bite one of those crocodiles, like, in half? I mean, half.
I think it's...
like, it's no problem.
It's a nightmare for crocodiles. Like, have you seen the one, like, I don't remember if it bites at, like, a baby hippo or what it does. And the next thing you know is there's, like, 15 hippos around it. And then it just, you can imagine where it goes from there.
Baby hippos are so cute, though.
They are.
I also like when a hippopotamus is defecating, how its tail moves like a propeller. And, like, it's slicing it off like you're cutting slices of lunch meat. You know what I'm talking about? Sorry. For those that don't know, I don't even know how you would Google that. I'm sure there's videos. I don't even know.
Isn't there a video where, I'm easily fooled. So I thought there's one that it sounds like it may really be breaking wind as it's doing what you're talking about.
You know
about.
What I'm talking about.
But I mean, people are it, like, really that sound, or did somebody, like, put a dirt bike sound in there?
Oh, yeah, that's been altered. Like, I saw one the other day where it shows, like, I don't know where Luke finds this stuff.
Oh, here we go.
Like, two little monkeys jumped on the back of this warthog, and the warthog takes off running.
I've seen that.
And then somebody dubs in, like, the sound of, like, an F1 race car.
Yeah, I've seen it with motorcycle sounds on it. Did you know that those monkeys jumping on those pigs are actually trained by the natives of that area to do that? That's how they catch pigs and hunt them like that.
Oh, wow. No, I didn't.
Of course, that's probably a lie, too. But I'm pretty sure I read something like that where those monkeys will go out there and jump on them.
Yeah. And the reason that, like,
if you've got a pig riding monkey and a hyena on a chain, you're a bad, bad man.
Man. And, like, for people that don't think that's real, like, we have, what's the little monkey that used to ride the dog around?
Whiplash.
Here? Yeah. I think that thing recently passed away.
There's like 75 of them.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure, sure,
yeah. There's a whole bunch of them. So the man that started it was named Tommy Lucia, and his son is still doing it.
How do you start that? Like, how are you just out?
He was a rodeo clown.
Building fence. And then you're like, you know what?
Tommy Lucia was a rodeo clown, I believe, is how it started. And then I've met him. I mean, he just lives right down the road from us. His son still lives here.
How do you just, like, oh, you know what? I'm going to get a little.
Looking for a gig? He was looking for an edge.
I'm going to call a bird. My bad.
And he was like, what am I going to like looking for an edge. And he had always trained horses. I believe he did a lot of horse training, and that's, I say a clown. He wasn't necessarily a clown, but he was like a halftime performance in rodeos, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. he did horse training, and like, cause he was one of the guys that would take those old swayback horses and pile like horse blankets on them. And then every time you turn around to get another one, and the horse reaches back and pulls one off, right? It's yeah. just hilarious. I mean, and he would train them, but that's the first time I ever saw Whiplash.
Oh, I used to
and
love Whiplash, it as a kid.
It's like a spider monkey, folks, that they have taught to ride on the back of a border collie while he gathers sheep. And y'all can go pull it up on YouTube and watch him do it. But he's not tied to it. Literally, there's a little saddle, and they'll let him down, and he'll run around. He's got like a little shirt on with a little wild rag around yeah. his neck, and he's got his little hat and his chaps on, his boots, and he runs and gets up on there and takes off. Dude, it's hilarious.
It's awesome.
It's the funniest thing. It really is funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, we need to train. We need a trained monkey around. We need to get Luke. Where's Luke? That's what we
yeah.
need. Yeah. So look, I'm going back to Kansas because I've got to tell you about this. If I told you about Dog Man, I can't leave it out for the Eastern Kansas. Now this is Bottomland Bigfoot. So I'm assuming where this is at has got some good area, some good brush, not where I was in more of the farmland area.
Yeah.
I can't pronounce this place of where this took place, y'all. So
go ahead and try.
Go ahead and try to bombard me with emails and messages about how I mispronounced it and all that. I'm not going to read it. So
no, go ahead, please.
This is what it says. When I was in high school, my uncle and I would hunt deer and turkey in eastern Kansas. In 1999, we were near the Marias de Cygnus Refuge bow hunting for deer in a swampy woodland area.
Okay.
We had been in the same location before and familiar with the layout. Both of us had portable tree stands overlooking the bottomland. We had been in our stands for about an hour, and it was morning, early morning, but I don't remember the time. My uncle was to the right of me about 50 yards, so we could both see anything moving below. I heard splashing from his direction and noticed him waving at me. The splashing was getting louder. I first thought it may be a small herd of deer moving my way, but as I looked through the thicket, I noticed something tall and bulky standing beside a tree. I then saw something similar a few feet away from the other figure, and I looked over at my uncle, and he was crouched down and still. The two figures started to move towards me. Then one worked its way into a clearing, and I was able to get a good look. It was definitely a Bigfoot, and it was huge. It was around 8 foot tall and covered head to toe in matted, muddy, dark hair. It was reaching into the water and putting whatever it found in its mouth. I didn't see the other Bigfoot. It must have moved off in the other direction. I was as still as possible, but I was shaking. This Bigfoot was no more than 100 foot from me, though. I was 12 foot up in a tree. That ain't tall enough, bro. I must have watched it for 10 minutes or so as it waded through the water, eating whatever it pulled out. It eventually walked away from us towards the woods on the opposite rise. My uncle and I looked at each other, but didn't make a sound. I was ready to get out of there, but he remained in his stand, holding his hand palm out to let me know to hang on. I wasn't even thinking about hunting deer any further that day. About 15 or 20 minutes had gone by, my uncle started moving off his stand, so I did the same thing, dropping the ladder and climbing down. We walked towards each other and agreed to come back to the stands later. In fact, I didn't go back. That afternoon, my dad and grandfather went back with my uncle to look around and retrieve the stands. Both of them believed we saw the Bigfoot. My grandfather said he believes that they were eating freshwater mussels and snails. I've never went back to that area, though I still hunt. That was the only time I've ever seen anything like that. I'd be interested to know of other witness sightings in eastern Kansas and western Missouri. I've heard many stories, but nothing recent. Chad.
Wow. Well, I'm with Chad. I would have aborted going hunting that evening if I had just saw a large 8 foot tall, muddy, mud soaked hominid walking around eating mussels and stuff. I mean, especially if you're bow hunting. I mean,
oh yeah. Are you kidding? I mean, look,
but like all jokes aside, like what did they see?
Yeah. What would you mistaken it for?
That's my biggest question. So every time there's a sighting,
it's 100 foot's not that far, man.
No.
100 foot's not that far.
No. It seems really far when it's like something's 100 foot tall.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, if you lay 100 foot linear on the ground, you're like, dude, that's right there.
Yeah. It's my whole thing is there's only two answers for a sighting like this. they either saw exactly what they saw or they're lying. That's it. Because you don't mistake that. You don't mistake a cow or a deer for something wading around in the water eating mussels. I've never seen a deer stick its hoof down in the water and pull its hoof out and then hold something in its hoof and put it in its mouth.
Yeah.
Never seen that happen. Never seen a cow do it. Because in order to do it, what's it take? Hands.
Yeah.
That's how this works.
Speaking of cows, I'm going to bring up something about a cow after the break. Let's take a break, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. With Expanded Perspectives, very cool sightings. I've got another one here that Lon quickly passed on because of its subject matter. I think it's a possible Glimmer Man sighting. Check this out. It says an Indonesian student living in Los Angeles encountered a translucent humanoid sitting on the bedroom floor with its legs crossed and facing in the opposite direction. Was it a Glimmer Man? The person says, this happened in 2007. I don't remember the exact date. I was an international student from Indonesia studying interior design at Art Institute College located in Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, now moved to North Hollywood. It was a stressful college life for me. I had a hard time catching up with the workload of the various assignments. I missed many assignment deadlines, and I felt so stressful that I didn't go to class if I didn't have anything good to show and present during the class. While I was studying there, I used to live in a newly built two-story townhouse in Arcadia near the Santa Anita shopping mall and the horse racetrack. My older sister used to live in the same house, but in early January 2007, she moved out from the country after she finished her studies, so I was there alone. When I was very young, like 5 years old, I had many nightmares and was able to see bad things inside and around my childhood house. Almost every night, I woke with my parents and siblings up. I woke them up with my screams. Thank goodness, the regular nightmares stopped when I was around 12 years old. The most scary thing I saw is a pair of glowing red eyes attached to a large black ape-like body. It was above me while I was laying on the bed sleeping. The red eyes were less than a foot distance away from my face. I felt so terrified and paralyzed that I let out a faint shriek when I woke up and saw that the thing was staring at me. I pulled up my blanket and covered my face while that thing was still staring. Later I learned that Indonesian people call these things genderuro. I don't know, I've never heard of that, have you? One late afternoon or early evening, after all day staying inside my bedroom, watching TV and basically doing nothing productive, I wanted to go to the kitchen downstairs and make something for dinner. When I opened my bedroom door, immediately I saw a translucent humanoid sitting on the floor with its legs crossed and facing in the opposite direction of my bedroom's door. When it noticed me staring, it started getting up from the floor and it turned its body to face me. It was a rather skinny-looking thing with long arms and clearly defined outline, just like the cloaking alien in the Predator movie, only smoother. About 5 foot tall, I remember instantly feeling a very negative, malicious energy from that thing. I then quickly closed the door and locked it. I was thinking to hide under my bed, but didn't have ample space underneath it. I decided just to wait inside my bedroom until the following day around noon. I thought it was an evil spirit, and I wished the full sunlight could make it disappear. The next day, when I opened the door and went out, the thing was gone, and I never seen such a thing again. The recent movie titled The Invisible Man, which came out in 2020, reminded me of my encounter with that thing. I've done some research about it online and found out that it lives in the forest or sparsely human-populated places. Some people say that it's a cloaked Bigfoot, but I think it's something different. A Bigfoot would have a thick, tall physique, wouldn't it? This thing was only 5 foot tall and was very slender. And based on what I saw from its outline, I think that maybe it had short hair, like shoulder length maybe. The house I used to live in Arcadia, is also very close to the Los Angeles National Forest, so maybe it came from down from the forest area. I don't know. S. Well, I don't know if that qualifies as a Glimmer Man, but I guess it could. And you're not the first person to see something like the Glimmer Man inside of your home, which me and Cam have talked about at length. If this was somehow some strange technology that the government has or the military has or some black group, why would they be going inside people's homes? That would be a real good way to get shot. And yeah. then their technology would be in someone else's hands. It just doesn't seem like a good idea.
No, that's – and what was the – we're going to have to look into the name of what they
– yeah, what was it? It's G-E-N-D-E-R-U-W-O.
Yeah, we're going to have to look into that.
I've never heard of that. But, man, we might have just stumbled upon a lot of cool stories.
I'm going to play that as my next character.
There you go. That would be good. Before the last break, I was talking about bringing up cows.
Yeah.
Because you were talking about, you know, how could people mistake a Bigfoot for a cow? When we, just a couple nights ago, we were in the woods.
Yep.
Blood tracking two deer, actually.
Yep.
Found one. But while we were out there, it was me and Cam and Cam's nephew and a friend of his nephew. It was dark out, heavily wooded, and we were all out there for about 2 or 3 hours looking. And at one point, I came to the neighbor's fence, and when I shined my headlamp across the field, of course, I saw a black Angus or Brangus cow lift its head up and look at me, and you could see the eye shine. Mm-hmm. But to an untrained person, or like we used to term city slicker and stuff, it looked like a black thing stood up.
Well, you and I even had that field. Discussion.
And when later I saw
night.
You,
yeah.
you mentioned it, and I was like, that's funny, because I just thought the same thing like an hour ago.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, it looked like something black stood up when in reality all it was a cow
eating
and lifting its head.
It pulled its head up while it was eating at the ground level where you could see the eye shine. Cow's eyes are much further apart than what normally you're out there at night looking for deer or coyotes or whatever. And then as it raises its head up in alert, it gets pretty tall.
It looks like something standing up.
Yeah, and it's so fluid, that you're like, what the hell? And then I'm like, I got what's going on. Slow elk.
Yeah, so I still say that, like, look, I know that we've talked about it a million times. Some days I'm a believer, some days I'm a non-believer. I still will say, either way, I'm not even telling you what side of the fence I'm on today, I still think that a majority of sightings are just misidentification.
Yes,
I feel that way. And so you could easily say or see, I'm sorry.
Especially when they're quick. If they're fast, it's very easy to misidentify. Like if you're passing something and you caught the lights and, you know, things are just right. And it's like a bam, you know, like we always talk about the bam, bam plays in baseball, right? Like it's just boom, boom, real quick. When you start talking about a sighting or something going on like that, I feel the same way. Is some of those could be easily misidentified. Because
especially it's in your, like, what state of mind are you in? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, if you're out Bigfooting, like, you're in that state of mind and you see something like that. And this was, of course, an open field. Say it wasn't an open field. You just thought you saw something, like, through a wooded area. You can easily
because where we yourself. Were at was very, very thick.
I mean, I haven't made the joke to you. So we're looking for deer and my mind is in that set. I don't know how many times I saw a log and I was like, oh, that's a deer. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, that's a deer. Oh, that's an antler. No, it's not.
Yep.
It's like you psych yourself out. So you can easily scare yourself. And I think that it's misidentification.
We're running around in the darkness like idiots.
Yeah. And sometimes I wouldn't even know where y'all were. And I'd turn my headlamp off just for a second. And you're like, whoa.
Well, like I told you, when I got back to my truck and I come and found y'all and y'all were back at the other spot. And I said, I got over there. I could hear y'all's voices out of the creek, but I couldn't see your headlamps. So I turned my headlamp off and I was probably, 100 yards from you, maybe 150 yards at most, probably 100 yards. And I could hear y'all. A little bit, but couldn't. And dude, it is creepy because, you know, there was no light. It was a little overcast. There was no ambient light out at all. Like if you didn't have your headlamp, it was dark.
Yeah. I mean, if you go and follow the show on Instagram, you actually just posted something that was creepy that we found in those woods.
Yeah. I need to put it. I'll share it on the show's Instagram. I'll put it on mine. I'll put it on the show's right now.
Either
I'll
way, post it go up. Follow. Go follow Cam. But it's just it's something innocent, but it's creepy.
I got something the same thing that's innocent and creepy. And I want to run this by you. It's real short. April sent this in and she just emailed this in. She's like, listen to this. I'm going to read this to you. It says, a few years ago, one night around 3 a.m., my wife and I were sleeping, and I found myself slowly waking up from a really deep sleep. So you know how your eyes, you know, you're kind of blinking and coming out of this, so you kind of start waking up. Said, as soon as my eyes focused on the lamp on my dresser, it fell off of my dresser and shattered in the floor. So it woke up my wife, woke me up. Mm-hmm. All right, this whole thing, both set straight up. Startled by the sound of a breaking lamp, what could have knocked it off? This whole thing. They said, look, it's in the wee hours of the morning. So we're not going to mess with it, right? We'll fix it in the morning. We'll just clean it up then. You can't do anything about it now. It's not like it's water. It's just a broken lamp. Who knows how it fell off? What happened? They said the next morning when they got up, the lamp was on the floor at the foot of the bed, about 5 foot from where it fell off.
Uh-huh.
Completely intact.
But everybody remembers it being broken.
Both of them completely opened their eyes, saw it move. Well, he saw it move, or whoever. This person saw it move, woke up the person's wife with the crashing sound. So it's not like a shared, you know, like we've discussed it where you've woken yourself up thinking you've heard something.
Yeah.
But it's really not there, right? I forgot what term they use for that, but that's this whole deal. So imagine that happening. Then you wake up and find it 5 foot from where it fell off, but it's not broken.
Right.
What the heck is that? What is causing that?
I don't know. Right. I mean,
for
people, it's got to be, I would say, extraterrestrial. Reminds me of the movie with what's her name? Kerry Russell, Dark Skies. Remember where?
Yeah.
They keep going to the kitchen and like all the books are stacked up and everything.
Yeah.
And they call the security company and the cops. And the cops are like, you sure? It's probably just your kids messing around.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
So maybe the extraterrestrials are pulling a prank on them. And
they
gorilla glued that whole lamp back for them.
Right? They broke it by accident when they were putting them in there with an implanted memory. And so they had to fix it. And they don't know anything about lamps, so they just put it together and left it on the floor.
Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Makes sense. Very cool. If you have any exciting, strange, unusual stories or articles or whatever you want to send me and Cam, please do not hesitate. Email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the show, 888-393-BRUD or 888-393-2783, and tell your story just like Leo did at the beginning of the program. We love getting those. Cam, what do you have planned for your week?
I'm not really sure. I've got a little odds and ends of stuff that I need to get done. I still need to do a little Christmas shopping, just a little bit. I need to finish up what I was working on. And I'm working on a segment for this upcoming Elite show of basically a portal to hell.
Oh, that sounds cool. Yeah, I need to get on the Christmas shopping. I've done zero thus far.
You better pick that up.
My wife is almost done, though.
Yeah,
she does a lot of the shopping for the kids. So when I say I got to get my Christmas shopping done, I mean, like, literally, I have to get my wife some stuff. And
that's it.
My brother-in-law, I drew his name this year.
I got you. Yeah, I have my nephew, drew my nephew's name, and then whatever. I'm just as, like I've said before, I'm just as surprised to see what my family's got for Christmas from me as they are. So I enjoy that part.
I do that. That just happened. Luke just had his birthday along with you. And he kept opening stuff, and I was like, thanks, Dad. I'm like, I got you that.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah, I just say that. You're welcome.
You're welcome. Welcome. You're welcome.
All right, folks. Well, I hope you guys have a good week out there. Till next time, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.